2 Peter 1:21 says this, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, understanding prophecy. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, Lord. I believe this is something you've laid on my heart to preach and teach. So help me to do that accurately, Lord. Give us open hearts and ears to hear it and understand it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been getting some really interesting insight, I think, to some scripture lately. And the problem is I was wanting to share it and teach on it, I felt like God's going, yeah, you can't. And I that has kind of happened at times. In fact, I was telling Judy the other day, it's like, man, I really want to talk about this, but there's no way I can do this, is there? And she's like, no, there's no way you can do that. So it got me to thinking that is what I found about prophecy and prophetic gifting, is that there's a lot of times God will show you things, but over the years I've had him say me, it's like, okay, I'm showing you this, but you can't speak it. So just because you get something from God, you should always ask, is this for now? Is this for me? Maybe later? Do I need to hold it? Do I need to share it? Because a lot of times God says, you know, it's not yet. I may be revealing something to you, but it's not to be shared yet. So this got me thinking about prophecy and how all that works. And I thought to myself, have I ever taught specifically on prophecy? And I went back and I went through all of my databases of sermons, and shockingly, I have never taught on the topic of prophecy. And probably a lot of people would prefer I don't ever preach on the topic of prophecy. But the problem is it's in the Bible. And God says there are useful purposes for it. There are reasons for the gift of prophecy. The challenge with prophecy is, and this is probably going to be 2 weeks worth of teaching on this, that why people struggle with prophecy is because it can be, if misused, it can be very manipulative. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Thus saith the Lord," it kind of makes it hard to reject it if it's not really God speaking, and maybe it's the person's opinion more than it is God. And so people would rather just not deal with it. But when we do that, I've always thought the answer is not to reject it, but to try to do it better. Rather than just not doing it all, why don't we try to learn about it as much as we can and do it better? And there are good reasons for prophecy. So I want to kind of get into that today. I will just tell you this. Nobody fully understands prophecy, okay? And when I get done here today, you're not going to either, okay? But maybe we'll understand it better. It's a really challenging topic on even what we call and consider prophecy. A lot of people consider prophecy as just like simply fortune-telling or foretelling the future. That is not what you see when you really dig into prophecy. Are there prophetic things that share about what's coming in the future? Yes, but that's not really the basic definition, if you will, of prophecy. Prophecy at its very fundamental level simply means to declare a message from God. Okay? And so that's why we have in our opening scripture that Scripture, and I'm going to read this, go through this again in a minute. This is prophecy. It's foretelling a message from God. If I get up here and I'm speaking scripture and I'm bringing you a message based on a message from God, is that prophecy? I would say it is, and a lot of people would agree. But it's not what we often think of as prophecy. Now, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to get in, maybe I'll touch on a few for illustration purposes, but I'm not going to get into specific prophecies that we see in the Bible. Because if I did that, we'd be here until Jesus came back, okay? Just to give you an idea, there's a phrase that we see repeated in the Old Testament many times where it says, "The word of the Lord came to me." That's just a small portion. And so what comes next is a prophecy, right? The word of the Lord came to me, and then they share it. Well, that's only a small part of the prophecies that we see in the Bible. And that phrase occurs in the Old Testament 61 times. So you can see how many prophecies there are in the Bible. If you are a note taker, and you should be, if you are a note taker, you need to sharpen your pencils today, okay? So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 19, and I'm going to read through verse 21. 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 19. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well." See, this is why prophecy is important. "You will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand no prophecy of Scripture." So we know that Scripture is what? Scripture is what? Prophecy. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The prophecy never, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, you may recognize this passage. We used it frequently when I was talking about the inerrancy and the inspiration of Scripture here a couple months ago, that this is, we got the Word of God because the Holy Spirit carried them along and they wrote. But it's called prophecy. Verse 19, it says, "The word of the prophets is more certain." We want certainty when we open up Scripture, amen? We want to know that this is the Word of God. And the Word of God is more, it's more certain, and because it's certain, we'll do well if we pay attention to it. And I'll look at why it will do well if we pay attention to it here in a minute. But do you want to do well? Nobody here is intentionally wants to not do well, right? So we're told we'll do well if we pay attention to Scripture. So Scripture is important. Then it goes on and says, "The light shining in the dark place and the morning star," that's a reference to Jesus, right? And so it says Jesus. So since we know that, it says he's coming and his ministry, Jesus is coming and his ministry were prophesied about. That's how we knew about it. It was prophesied by Isaiah. And it came to pass. Because Jesus was prophesied and it came to pass, if prophecies come to pass, then we're doing well if we pay attention to them, right? If somebody tells you something that's going to happen and then it happens, maybe that person is worth paying attention to, amen? Not only that, the thing that they told you is going to happen is probably really, really meaningful, and we should pay attention to that too, just like the coming of Jesus was prophesied in his ministry. So we'll do well. It is important if we pay attention to it. Above all, it says, understand that Scripture is prophecy. And it didn't come about by the man, it says. Prophecy is not because the men who wrote Scripture, they wrote what the Holy Spirit inspired them to write. That, what did they write? They wrote a message from God to us. That's what prophecy is. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Very familiar. All Scripture is God-breathed. If Scripture is God-breathed, then it's a message from God. Amen? So all Scripture is... Now you guys are going to have to do better than this, all right? All Scripture is what? It's God-breathed, that makes it what? Prophecy. All Scripture is God-breathed. And because it's God-breathed, because it's a prophetic, it's a message from God, so prophecy we know is what? Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So for everybody, you're going to get tired of hearing this. People... let me ask you this first of all. Am I wrong that a lot of people would rather not deal with prophecy? I mean, if you come up to me and you tell me, God tells me that you're going to be blessed and you're going to do wonderful things and life is going to be great, you're okay with that, right? People are okay with that? But prophecy is a lot more than that. Again, prophecy is not fortune telling. Prophecy is a message from God. And again, it can be very manipulative. That's one thing I'll point out, I'm sure, multiple times. If you feel like you have something to share with another person that God has laid on your heart, don't go to them and say, "Thus saith the Lord." okay? Because again, that's very manipulative. If you come to me and say, thus saith the Lord, I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't. That doesn't sound right. But they said that God said it. But it just doesn't sound right. But I can't reject God, right? See, it's manipulative. Don't do that, okay? Say to them, I think God's laying something on my heart for you. Is it okay with you if I share it with you? And if they say yes, then say, okay, but then you judge whether or not you think this is legitimate. So a lot of people, they don't like, and maybe I'm making too big a deal out of this, but where we pastored before, there was a lot of the prophetic ministry going on in that area. And there was some very good, and there was some very manipulative. And so a lot of people just, they're very hesitant in dealing with this gift. But if you are hesitant in accepting the idea of prophecy from Scripture, then you are also rejecting teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, right? Because Scripture is prophecy, and it's useful. It's all God-breathed, and it's useful. So we want to do this. We want to be, hopefully we all end up, because I like how it doesn't, I read this passage as prophecy or Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting. Once I've been taught, I've been rebuked and corrected, then I can do what? I can do righteous things. So as God teaches me and corrects me, it ends up that I'm being trained to be righteous and to do righteous things. Hopefully we all have a desire to do the righteous things that God wants us to do. To do these, we're equipped for every good work, as verse 17 ends. We want to do good work, but it takes equipping to do that. And the way that we're equipped is that we go through learning from prophecy. Is everybody with me this morning? Because you guys seem like you're not here. Here's you more coffee, okay? More coffee. I hate it when I'm excited and you're not, okay? This is good. I'm excited. This is important stuff. Well, if the Bible says it, it's important, okay? Some initial reasons for prophecy and why it's important and why we should be respectful of it. Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. God doesn't do anything. Now, again, did I just make that up? I didn't make it up, right? I just read it out of the Bible. God doesn't do anything without revealing it first to his servant, the prophet. Well, if the prophets, God reveals it to them first, well, I'd like to know that. So if I reject the prophetic, I'm rejecting things that God has revealed that he wants us to know. We don't want to reject those things. So we're still living in a time of prophets. Prophecy has not died, all right? Let's go to Acts 2, verse 16 through 18. Prophecy is still legitimate. Now, probably next week, we may look at one of the spiritual gifts that we've dealt with. Again, we've dealt with this before, that we are still living in the days of Joel, that we see in the beginning, Acts chapter 2, that we're still in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that go along with them. If there is one gifting, though, that has ceased, we might cover it in this, and I'll get to that. But prophecy itself is still valid because we're still in that time period. We're still in that time period when Joel prophesied about in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that went with it. Acts 2, 16 and 18 says, now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all people. My sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I don't know about old men, but I know some old ladies that dream dreams. At least I know one in particular. The other night, night before last, my wife says in her sleep, because she talks a lot in her sleep, says, you can't tell me what to do. Just as clear as could be. So I asked her the next morning, who were you talking to when you said you can't tell me what to do? She claimed ignorance. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I know she was talking to me. Thus saith the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. The old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And we're still in that time. We've discussed this. As I said, we're in that time frame. God says he's going to have pour out his spirit. And when his spirit is poured out, then there's going to be prophecy that goes along with it. And we should be open to hearing those prophetic giftings. And some of you, and that, you know what that tells me today? There are people sitting here today. You have a prophetic gifting. Now, why don't you know that? I'll tell you why you may not know it. Because nobody wants to teach on it. I might be one of the only few people that's just crazy enough or dumb enough to get up here and preach on it. But I have this problem. If it's in the Bible, I can preach on it. And if you have a prophetic gifting and you don't know it, that's heartbreaking to me. I have a fear that people, God's people, are going to stand before him on judgment day, and he's going to say, give an account for what you did with the spiritual gifts that I gave you. And they're going to, I didn't even know I had any. That, what a shame. So because I know that we're still in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and part of the gifting of the Holy Spirit is prophecy, there are no doubt people sitting here today that have a prophetic gifting. There are people that are not saved that I think have a prophetic gifting. They just don't know it. If they surrendered themselves to Jesus, they'd have a gift of prophecy. They just don't know it. So, we're still in that time frame. Some of you do. And you just have to ask yourself, do I ever feel like I know things before they happen? Do I ever feel like I know something about a situation or what's going on in a person's life, even though nobody's ever told me or any of those kind of things? I mean, if you notice things like that, I mean, I honestly think, and I'm going to get into this more next week, what we think of as prophecy is probably more discernment. Now, I'm going to lump a number of gifts together in what I call revelatory gifts. Things are revealed to us, okay? Prophecy, discernment, tongues and interpretation, all of these kinds of things. And that's why defining prophecy gets so hard, because you have more than one type of revelatory gifts. But if you have those kind of senses where you know things or you discern things, you probably have a prophetic gifting. Let's go to Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So we're blessed if we hear and understand and accept the words of prophecy, the things that God is revealing to us, those who read the words of prophecy. Again, this is the book of Revelation is a prophecy. We get that, right? God is foretelling something. He's sending a message about what's going to happen, what it's going to be like in the end. It's a prophecy. And we are blessed if we read it, accept it, understand it. Amen? Again, I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be blessed. And we are living in a time that we need that, because he said that that time is drawing near. You know, when God begins to wind things up, it's near from God's perspective. I mean, from human perspective, it's hard to discern sometimes. But we are living in that time, and prophecy is for us, and we're blessed if we follow it. So, some of the challenges of prophecy. Now we're going to get into some. I've been trying to help you understand that prophecy is important, okay? But now we're going to get into some of the specifics. And a lot of that is found in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:9. Again, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's writing them for a reason. The church at Corinth was very spiritually gifted. All these gifts of the Spirit that we read about, they had these gifts. They were active. The Holy Spirit was working supernaturally through the church at Corinth in all the giftings. The problem with the church at Corinth was not that they didn't have the gifts, it's that they were very immature in how they used the gifts. So Paul, what we do today when people are immature, what do we with their gifts? The church has a tendency to say, "Well, let's just not do that at all," because it's immature. It can be manipulative. It makes us uncomfortable. I mean, that's what the church has done with gifts of prophecy. It makes us uncomfortable, so we just won't do it. Hello? These things make us uncomfortable. The gifts, gifts of tongues, that makes us really uncomfortable, so we just won't do it. That's not what Paul did. Paul said, let me teach you how to do it properly. That's really critical. Are you guys with me? Hello? I know it's not that you're not in, it's just you're just so enthralled, you're just mesmerized, right? Is that why you're just staring at me? He said, let me teach you how to do it right. So again, why would Paul spend all this time teaching us how to do it right if it was something that was going to cease? The gifts were going to cease. Well, they haven't ceased. That's why. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 13:9. He says, now here's the challenge that we have with prophecy. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. No prophecy is complete. It's only a small portion. So we can't over... The problem a lot of times we have with prophecy is that we overdo its importance. But it's valid. We just can't misconstrue it, mischaracterize it. We only know in part. We only prophesy in part. And sometimes it's always incomplete, but sometimes we may even miss it. There's a lot of things that we can see. And, you know, if dreams, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, right? When God poured out his spirit as prophesied by Joel, one of the things he said, what? Old men will dream dreams. Is that people have spiritual dreams, but they're hard to understand. We may know it's a spiritual dream, but we don't understand the meaning of it. And so we only understand in part. We only know in part. We can get it wrong. Luckily, we don't have the same consequences the Old Testament had for getting prophecy wrong. We are imperfect, and prophecy is incomplete. What we learn, though, from 1 Corinthians 13, there is a remedy for incompleteness and incorrectness. Let me say that again. You might want to write this down on the flyleaf of your Bible. There is a remedy for incompleteness and incorrectness. Given that it's in 1 Corinthians 13, what is that remedy? Do everything exactly. Love. If you make sure that what you do is done with love, then even incorrectness and incompleteness will not be overly damaging. So love. So that's how we handle that. Psalm 105:15 says, do not touch my anointed one, do my prophets no harm. So again, prophecy is valid. Prophecy is incomplete. But that doesn't mean that you start beating up on the prophets, because God warns us, even when they're not, you know, it's not all 100% perfect, their prophecy, you don't do any harm to them. So he warns us not to do that. And it also means, it may not even just be that their prophecy isn't perfectly complete, it just may mean you don't like their prophecy. Because some prophecy is used for correcting and rebuking. We read that, right, back in 2 Timothy. So don't mess with the prophets. Instead, let's look at what 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22 says. Instead of beating up the prophets, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything. Hold to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So he says, look, don't reject the prophecy and don't shut prophecy down. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. So you don't reject it, you don't shut it down. He says, and don't treat the prophecy with contempt. When somebody says, I think I've got a word for you, you don't go, oh, forget that. You know, don't treat it with contempt. He says, listen to it and just test it. That's the thing for you. If somebody shares something with you that they think is prophetic, it's your job to test what they tell you, and you can reject it. You don't have to accept it, because well, otherwise, why would God tell you to test it? If rejecting what they tell you is not an option, why would he tell you to test it? So that's what we do. Our job is to test it. And what's good, the parts of it that are good, what do you do? Hold on to it. And above all, make sure that you avoid doing evil with whatever it is that you're doing. What do they say that hold on to it? You eat the meat and spit out the bones, right? That's what he's saying. That's another way of the way that we would put it. And that's the point that he's making. So I want to address, this may be 3 weeks. Ah, my gosh, there's no way I'm getting through this. And I hate to do too much with it without doing it as a complete thing. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:3. 1 Corinthians 14:3, and we may have to go back and do a little review to catch this up because there's no way I'm getting through all this week. 1 Corinthians, are y'all okay so far? Anybody want to get up and leave? Some of you do, but you go, yeah, but I'm not going to. You can, we'll just mock you on the way out. I'm just kidding. So 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, first thing is prophecy speaks to who? Men. Speaking to men for their benefit, for their strengthening. Now, strengthening doesn't mean that it's all wonderful. Strengthening can be you need to get rid of this. Sometimes getting rid of things out of our lives makes us stronger, right? So strengthening can be, yes, oh, that's good. Keep doing it. That's great. That strengthens us. But it also could be, yeah, you could do better if you didn't do that or if that wasn't a part of your life. So prophecy can be either one of those. It's for our strengthening, it encourages us, and it can bring comfort. Those things are important. Nobody has a problem with being encouraged or comforted, right? So that's one of those are valid uses of prophecy, as well as obviously strengthening. And that may be adding to, it may be taking away, it may be encouraging you to do what you're already doing, but it goes back to Scripture as prophecy, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All those kind of things. Let's go back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 1. And Paul, again, is writing them concerning prophecy. He says, for the way of love, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I almost feel like, I don't know, maybe we should stop right there. How is it that we're told to eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Especially prophecy. And about 75% of the church in America doesn't want anything to do with prophecy. Okay, so why don't we want that? People are afraid of it. I think you think right. But again, that's where the training part comes in. It is something that people are intimidated by or fearful of. But we have to learn, become mature, because God says it's important. I mean, most of you know that when you found out that I was a preacher, you're like, what? Right? Randy, who? Are you sure? I've learned, because I've lived life both ways, God's way works. And if God says this is important, I'm going to believe God. Because when I do what God says, my life has been not a little bit better, a lot better. That's true of everything. And yeah, God's word alone makes us accountable. And that's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people don't like that, but so eagerly desire spiritual gifts, all of them, they're important. God gave them to us. He empowered us supernaturally with his gifts. In fact, why are they so important? Because we have to have them. We cannot be the church God wants us to be without the spiritual gifts. Because just all the way back to Luke 24 and Acts 1, when Jesus saw his disciples after his resurrection, his last instruction to them was what? Don't leave Jerusalem or go anywhere or do anything until you're clothed with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do anything without it. That was his message. You can't do anything that I'm calling you to do without the Holy Spirit. That's why you should eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Especially prophecy. Because God wants to declare his message to us. And that's what prophecy means. Eagerly desire, especially the gifts of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. So when we're exercising the gift of tongues, we're speaking to God, not people. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men. So prophecy speaks out here. Tongues speaks here. God wants us to speak here with prophecy. Speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, like we just read. So there's a reason why God wants us to declare his message to one another. Because it strengthens us, it encourages us, and it comforts us. And that's what the gift of prophecy is. He also speaks in tongues to edify. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. But prophecy edifies the church. So again, he's distinguishing these revelatory gifts. And the gift of prophecy is to men and to everyone. Where tongues is to God and yourself. You're built up, but you're speaking to God. I would like everyone to speak in tongues. Okay, that's what Paul says. But I would rather have you prophesy. Even though Paul thinks the gift of tongues is so important that he wishes everybody should do it, he says, which everybody's scared to death of that gift as well, he says speaking in prophecy is more important. It's more important than something I want everyone to do. Am I misreading this? He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. See, this is why these revelatory gifts can be confusing. Unless he interprets, so that the whole church may be edified. Because when I speak in tongues alone, I'm speaking to God and myself, amen? But when I have tongues with interpretation, I'm speaking to God and to the church, because there's interpretation to it. Which now it's starting to sound kind of like prophecy, amen? Like I said, you cannot I don't know anybody that can perfectly tell you what prophecy is, and when you get done today, you won't be able to either, because it's a challenge. So, this is kind of a portion of this. Let me do this last portion and we'll stop, okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 25. Tongues are a sign then, tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. Now, this is a very confusing passage of Scripture. This you will understand when we get done, all right? So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, they will not say that you are, will they not say you are out of your mind? So if an unbeliever, a non-Christian, comes in and hears people speaking in tongues, they'll go, these people are crazy. Which is basically what they did on the day of Pentecost, right? They said they're all drunk. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and he will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So, like I said, a lot of people have a really hard time understanding this passage. But verse 22 helps us when it says that prophecy is for believers. Why? Because it builds up the body of Christ. Everybody benefits from it. Tongues will cause an unbeliever to think that you're all crazy because you're not speak. Who did we say that tongues speaks to? Men or God? God. So when you're speaking in tongues to God, a man will think you're crazy. But when you speak prophecy, you're speaking to men, they will understand it. And they will not think you're crazy. That's the point of this passage of Scripture, and I know a lot of people struggle to understand it. That's the understanding of it, okay? Because a lot of times we think the other way, people think the other way around, but that's this is the way it works. Now, I do want to say this whole idea because it sounds so, it's like, but an unbeliever, someone does not understand while they everybody is prophesying, he will be convicted by all that he is a sinner and he will be judged by all. I just want to throw in this little editorial because I think it's so important. We were talking about it this morning in Sunday school. When God tells us not to sin, do we realize our sin doesn't affect God, doesn't hurt God? If I do something that I shouldn't be doing, it doesn't hurt God. He's God. I can't hurt God by my behavior, except that he's concerned about me going, he knows it's hurting me. And he's going, Randy, your life could really be better if you didn't do that. And as your father, it does break my heart to see you suffer, to see your life be less than it could be or what I want it to be or what Jesus died on the cross so that it could be. That's what God cares about. It's not that I'm hurting him in any way by disobeying him. He just knows it's not good for me, and it breaks his heart that I don't have the best in my life that I could have. That's the conviction that God intends to come to us. And when we realize that, we end up doing, what does it say? They will fall down and worship God and exclaim, God is really among you. So these are the benefits. This is part of the purpose, and there's a lot more we'll get into. Is it okay if I do part two? Are you? Six of you are okay with me doing part two. Let me close with this last passage, John 16, 7 and 8. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor's who? Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, one of those gifts is prophecy. And when we prophesy and an unbeliever comes in, they're convicted of their sin, right? Well, that makes perfect sense because the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction. Isn't that what we just read here in John 16? See, this is why I love the Bible. These are all pieces of a puzzle, but when you put them all together, they fit and they make a bigger picture. It makes perfect sense. They're not in contradiction to one another. People that say the Bible contradicts itself have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. That's just somebody, they heard somebody say something. And they, anyway. Do you understand prophecy a little bit more at all? Just a little bit? Are you okay with it? Understanding prophecy.